Coming up in this episode, you've got a choice to make. Do you want to be true to yourself, true to your values, true to your worldview, true to what you really hold dear and believe? Or do you want to be the victim of or subject to a group or a way of thinking or an ideology or society that's forcing you to be something that you are really not? You are designed to bring a tremendous value to the world. You're designed to make the world a better place, but you can only do that if you know who you are. We grow up in a society that tells us who we should be. It tells us what we should think. Groupthink becomes a massive thing. And once you lose your personal identity, you lose your ability to walk with conviction. And when you don't know who you are, you're reliant on external factors to validate you. And when you begin to truly discover who you are and what your purpose is, you become unstoppable. No one can steal that from you, and you become a great benefit to the world. You bring change to the world. You bring inspiration to the world. You become a force for good, because the unique gift that you are is designed to have an impact on the world, on your loved ones, on your community, on those around you. Hey there, Craig Wilkinson here with Dangerous But Good. Fantastic to be with you again. In a previous podcast, I talked about the importance of identity, and I made the statement that said the most important words in your life, in your dictionary, are the words that you use to complete the sentence, I am. And I just want to unpack that a bit more today. This thing about identity has become such a massive issue. We talk about identity politics and people with identity crises and people trying to find themselves. So let's just unpack this a little bit, because it's such a crucial thing. The whole point of this podcast is to be a danger for good. In other words, dangerous to everything that's dangerous to you, your loved ones, and society. How can you and I be a force, a powerful force for good in society, in our families, communities, South Africa, the world as a whole? And key to being a force for good, key to being dangerous but good, is knowing who you are. You see, if you go to a cocktail party or you meet some new people, one of the first things they ask you, particularly as a guy, as a dude, hey, so what do you do? You know, and you're defined by your career, by what you do. And the next thing they drill down to is, so what do you drive? You know, let me see the clothes you're wearing. You know, we're so often identified by our group identity. And if you look at your group identity, we're born into a group identity. We're born into a particular race group. We're born into a particular nationality. We're born into a whole bunch of the gender. You know, there's certain things that are immutable, unchangeable. Your race, your ethnicity, your physical characteristics, your height, the color of your eyes, your gender. These are things that you're born into. They're part of your identity. Then there are group identities we all have. And again, that goes back to your nationality, your ethnicity, your background, etc. These are group identities. These are things that, they're generic. And in many ways, these things are what I would say is your surname. It's a generic thing. You know, if you belong to a political party, for instance, it's a group identity. If you belong to, if you support a particular soccer team, you know, Man United or whatever, recently Chiefs has been a good one to support, that you identify with that group. And so many of us stop there. Our identity is found in the group to which we belong, the tribe to which we belong. And there's so many intersecting tribes. So if you look at group identities, first of all, I'm a South African. I'm a Christian. I'm a man. All these different things, they intersect and they create my group identity. Now, it's a real problem if the only identity I have are the groups to which I belong. I really need to find my identity as Craig Louis Wilkinson. Yes, that's my middle name, Louis. Who am I? You know, I belong to all these different groups, but those are generic. So do other people belong to those groups. What makes me unique? And there's a multitude of things that we each have which make us who we are. I have particular personality traits. Am I extrovert? Am I introvert? Am I shy? Am I outgoing? I have particular likes and dislikes, you know, in terms of food and color and all kinds of different things. I have particular set of skills and abilities. You know, the things that I'm good at, the things that I'm bad at. You know, my wife will tell you, my kids will tell you, I'm terrible at singing. I'm terrible at drawing. There are things that I'm very good at. And each of us has a particular set of skills. We have passions, likes, dislikes. These are the things that make us who we are. We have ambitions. We have the things that we'd like to achieve in life. We have a sense of purpose. What is my purpose? And it's very important to begin to really know who I am. Because if I know who I am, apart from my group identity, I become unstoppable. And some of the things we need to ask ourselves is, what brings me great joy? What are the things that when I see that, my heart comes alive? What are the things that make me angry? What are the things that really piss me off? You know, one of the things for me in discovering identity was I've always hated bullies. I always hated any kind of abuse of power. And that's probably what's gotten me into the whole fight against gender-based violence and against bullying and the fight for equality, because I cannot stand. So when you find out what it is that makes you mad, what you're angry about, when you find the things that really give you delight and passion, I love nature. You know, I just love spending time in nature. I mean, that's part of who I am. So these are the things that begin to tell us who we are uniquely as an individual. And here's the thing with us as human beings. We crave a sense of identity. We crave a sense of belonging. And we crave a sense of legitimacy. And so many people would join a gang. You know, down in the Cape Flats, gangster culture is huge. And you have a massive issue there of fatherlessness. Young boys growing up without a father. And they're longing for a sense of identity and a sense of validity and a sense of legitimacy. So what do? They join a gang. And this gang gives them identity. Sometimes they tattoo it on their arms or their foreheads and they become a member of a gang. That is their identity. Now, the problem is when you do that is you become identified by a particular group and you lose your personal identity. And once you lose your personal identity, you lose your ability to walk with conviction and with courage. And you become fearful because you are completely consumed with being identified as particular tribe, particular nationality, particular race group, a particular gang that you belong to, particular political party. And so we have people that really don't know who they are. And when you don't know who you are, you're reliant on external factors to validate you. You're relying on, for instance, let's take a silly example. If you support a particular, let's say the Springbok rugby team, you know, and as South African men, we just, you know, and women too, we love the Springboks and we support them. And if my identity is so rooted in them winning, when they win, man, I'm on top of the world. When they lose, I feel terrible. You know, if I'm a South African, when South Africa is doing well, I feel fantastic. When South Africa is doing, you see, the problem is if my identity is in the group, I'm completely subject to the success or failure of that particular group. And I'm reliant on that group to give me my sense of identity, my sense of validity, my sense of legitimacy. But here's a better way. If you know who you are, if you know that this is your particular personality traits, this is what delights your heart, this is what you're passionate about, this is the thing you want to fight against, this is your set of skills and abilities and likes and dislikes, you then become a very, very powerful individual who's able to contribute to society in such a way that's not dependent on your group. I'll give you an example of someone who did this. Take Bishop Desmond Tutu. Now, Bishop Desmond Tutu was a phenomenal man of tremendous integrity. He knew exactly who he was. He had a very strong identity and he had a set of values. And by the way, that's crucial to knowing who you are. What do I value? What are my set of beliefs and the principles by which I run my life? Now, if you have a set of principles and beliefs, and the group to which you belong begins to veer away from that particular set of values and principles, and your identity is in the group, you're going to follow the group and you're going to compromise yourself. Now, you take Desmond Tutu. He believed so strongly in equality. He believed so strongly in human first, that every human being is created equal in the eyes of God and has equal rights. And so he fought tooth and nail against the apartheid regime, prayed against it, fought against it, worked for sanctions against it. And when the apartheid regime fell, he was absolutely delighted because what he stood for had fought against what was against what he stood for and it had fallen. But then along came the ANC and the ANC started veering off course of their true set of values of humanity and equality. And what did Desmond Tutu do? Instead of finding his identity in the ANC and in the group to which he formerly belonged and fought for, he said, you know what? They're veering away and I don't identify necessarily with them. I only identify with them if they support my set of values and who I am. So he started rallying against them.
I won't vote for them. That is something that I have said. And I say it with a very strong, very heavy heart. I am warning you like I warned the nationalists. I am warning you. One day we will start praying for the defeat of the ANC
government.
What a courageous man. What a beautiful man. And you see, if we are so tied up, our identity being so tied up in the group to which we belong, we compromise ourselves because we cannot see the error in the tribe to which we belong. We cannot see where they're going wrong. And we cannot often sometimes see the truth in a tribe to which we don't belong. So here's the challenge for us as individuals, and the benefits of knowing who you are and the benefits of having a unique and powerful identity are absolutely enormous, because you're not reliant on external validation. You know who you are. You know who God made you to be, and you are that. And you know what? No one can steal your unique personal identity, purpose, passion, and mission. No one can take that away. They can mess with the group to which you belong. The group to which you belong can disappoint you and mess you around. But if you're not attached to them and you're not reliant on them for who you are, you can be more powerful than that. You can stand for something. You can be a powerful force for good. Now, if we just go with the crowd, if we just go with the flow, if you're, and again, this is another example of people in political parties that toe the party line. Whatever the party tells them to vote, they'll vote, whether they believe it or not. That's cowardly. When we get our identity from a group and we allow that group to dictate to us how we're going to be, that's cowardice. That's pure cowardice. That's a lack of identity. That means you've lost yourself and you've allowed the group to dictate who you are. And here's the challenge for us. Find out who you are. As we grow up, we grow up in a society that tells us who we should be, that tells us what we should think. Groupthink becomes a massive thing. And I tell you what, in today's world with cancel culture, we are so scared to speak the truth. We're so scared to say what we want to say because we might be canceled and we might lose our sense of legitimacy and our sense of belonging. But if we truly know who we are, if we truly have a set of values and passions and principles and things that we know this is our purpose in life, we're unmoved by that. We don't care if someone tries to cancel us because we know who we are. We know that that cannot be stolen from us. So here's the thing. Find out who you are. Ask yourself the question, what is my unique set of skills and talents and abilities? What is that unique value that I bring to the world? You see, you are designed to bring a tremendous value to the world. You're designed to make the world a better place. But you can only do that if you know who you are. You can only do that if you know this is who I am. Know your strengths, know your weaknesses. And it's fine. You know, when you're not good at something, you're not good at that. When you're great at something, you're great at that. When you have a desire and a passion and a belief, pursue that, be that. Because only when you are that are you the gift to the world that God made you to be. There's a beautiful story, the movie Chariots of Fire. It's based on a true story of Eric Little, who was an athlete and also a missionary to China. And he was training hard for the Olympics. This was in the 1930s. And his sister was getting very more and more annoyed with him because, you know, she just wanted him to be a preacher, be the missionary. And she said to him one day when he was after training session, she said, "Eric, what are you doing spending all this time training?" She said, "God made you to be a missionary." And his answer was so beautiful. He said to him, looked in the eye and he said, "Yes, but he also made me fast." And he said, "When I run, I feel God's pleasure."
Jenny, you've got to understand. I believe that God made me for a purpose. For China. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure.
Isn't that beautiful? He made Eric fast. And it was part of his purpose, part of the value that he brought to the world. And he won a famous victory in the 400-meter Olympics. And he brought great pride and pleasure to himself and to his maker. And that's what we need to do. You need to ask yourself the question, what is it that what am I fast at? What is my running? What is it that when I do this thing, I feel pleasure and I feel the pleasure of God on my life? Because that's what he made me to do. And that's how we can add value to the world. When my daughter Blythe was very young, I mean, she must have been about 2 years old, I saw her one day. She was reaching out to touch this heater, very hot plate heater. And I said, "Oh, Blythe, don't do that. Don't do that. It's hot." And she kept her finger there and she looked me in the eye and she said, "I like hot." And I, you know, there was a clue to the kind of person she was going to be. You know, she's a feisty young girl with a very strong mind of her own. And it's beautiful. And as we go through life, we need to really, what do you like? What is your hot? What is your running? What is a thing that truly makes you who you are? One last thing about identity. Identity is never selfish. Because we are born into community, because we are a people, a race, a humankind that is interdependent and relational, your purpose and your identity is only ever true when it is in service of others. Now, service of others is not pleasing others. You know, you get people who are people pleasers. Why do they people please? Why can they not say no and set boundaries? Because they don't know who they are and they feel they need to please other people in order to receive validation for who they are. Now, when you really truly know who you are, you know that you're a gift to the world. And that gift is not just for you. That gift is to give to the world the gift of who you are. People who are brilliant musicians bless us with their music and they bring joy and delight to our hearts. People who are nurses and doctors and healers and givers, they are in service to others. And we are designed as human beings to be of benefit to each other. So if your purpose, if you think this is my identity, I'm going to go off to India and spend time in an ashram meditating and belly gazing and that's who I am, that's my... I think you've lost the plot. I think your identity always is in the service of others. By all means, go on a journey. And I think we all need to go on this journey. We need to go on a journey of discovering ourselves because you will never discover yourself by watching reels and YouTubes and endless scrolling. You'll never find yourself living vicariously through TV games and other things. You'll find yourself by getting into the wilderness, getting into the garden, getting alone with yourself and your maker and saying, who am I? Who am I really? And when you begin to truly discover who you are and what your purpose is, you become unstoppable, as I said. No one can steal that from you, and you become a great benefit to the world. You bring change to the world. You bring inspiration to the world. You become a force for good because the unique gift that you are is designed to have an impact on the world, on your loved ones, on your community, on those around you. Practically, how do you go about finding your identity? Remember, it's not related to your group. It's not your race. It's not your religion. It's not your nationality. It's uniquely who you are. It's your name, the name that's written in your soul, in your heart. I often say to fathers and mothers, you know, our job as parents is not to write the script for our children. Our job is to help them discover the script that's already written on their hearts. Now, how do you find out who you are? Here are a couple of questions. Ask yourself, what am I good at? Where do my gifts lie? Where are my talents? That's a very good clue. Are you good at people, good at speaking? And you can only really discover that by trying new things. You've got to get out of your comfort zone to discover who you are. You cannot ever find yourself in the kitchen, in the TV room, in the lounge. You've got to find yourself out there in the arena. So ask yourself, what am I good at? Where do my talents lie? If necessary, go and do a couple of tests, aptitude tests. Ask people, look at your history. What have you excelled at? Are you brilliant at sports, academics, thinking, even within academics? What is it? Mathematics? What is it? Language? You know, what are you good at? That's a clue. Number two, what brings you joy? What makes your heart come alive? You know, what are the things that you absolutely delight in? What are the things that if you had all the time in the world, you would choose to spend your time doing? Would it be hiking in nature? Would it be listening to music? So number one, what are you good at? Number two, what brings you joy? Number three, ask yourself, what is a change you would like to see in the world? What difference do you want to see in the world? For me, I'm passionate about fatherhood, about bringing true, authentic masculinity, about fighting against GBV and abuse. So ask yourself, what, you know, if I had unlimited funds and unlimited time, using my talents, using what brings me joy, what would I do to have an impact on the world? What are the issues that I would address? Very, very key to discovering who you are. Ask yourself the question, what makes me mad? What really pisses me off? Because that's a big clue. You know, the things that really annoy you, that really get you going, these are things that give a clue as to who you are and what your purpose is. There's a beautiful definition of purpose. It's the place where your deep gladness meets the world's deep hunger. Isn't that beautiful? That's your purpose. The world needs you, needs the gifts and talents you bring in. And your joy is where you're able to make that difference to the world. Another crucial thing about discovering who you are is to get feedback from others. We need to look in the mirror, man. You know, we've all got blind spots. We all have a concept of who we think we are, but who are we actually? You know, what impact do I have on my wife, on my children, on my colleagues, on my brothers and sisters and mates, on my community? Get their feedback. Sit down and ask people who you know and you trust will be honest with you and say, hey, dude, man, where am I screwing up? How can I be better? And dude, you know, what is it that you see in me that you like and you admire and you respect? Please share this with me. So the more we're able to receive feedback from others, the more this gives us a really good clue and a good indication of who we are as individuals. Because, you know, if you got bad breath, you don't know that. You need someone to tell you, man. You need someone to tell you. We need people to input to us as to what they see in us, because that helps us to see ourselves more and more accurately. Another thing we need to do is to deal with our wounds. And this is so crucial. You know, our lives are often shaped by the experiences we've had. And sometimes the persona that we pick is not the true us. It's a persona that we develop because of the wounds and the experiences we have. For instance, if you are a woman who's had terrible experiences with men, maybe been abused, abandoned, you might develop a persona that's very defensive, very aggressive, and very shut off to men. It's based on your past history and experience with men. Take, for example, Robin Williams. He was one of the best actors, one of the best comedians, such a gifted, talented, amazing individual, made everybody laugh. But what we didn't realize was that tremendous external persona was hiding a deep, deep tragedy, a deep sadness, a deep depression, and he ultimately ended up taking his life. So the persona he projected to the world was not necessarily who he was. He was dealing with a lot of pain inside. And so being truly yourself means being truly authentic and dealing with the wounds that we have. None of us arrive at adulthood completely whole. Things have shaped us. There have been tragedies. There might have been abuse, abandonment, neglect, poverty, all number of different things. There might have been fatherlessness. We might have had an abusive father. We might have a mother that was overly critical of us, friends that bullied us. Whatever the case, none of us have arrived at adulthood unscathed. So discovering yourself, truly discovering yourselves, means what am I doing that is a result of the woundedness that I've experienced? What am I doing that's a reaction to some of the life experiences I've had? And let's deal with that. Let's get healing for that. Let's process that. Let's, if necessary, get counseling. Because only when you've reached a sense of wholeness, forgiveness, let go of the things in the past that have hurt and damaged, and the biases, some unconscious, some conscious, that have emerged as a result of those experiences, only when you begin to truly let those go are you able to truly embrace who you are. So there's a checklist. There are a few things you can do to help discover who you truly, truly are. And I tell you what, when you do, the joy you will feel, the fearlessness you will have, the conviction and ability just to be true to yourself. And you know, when you're true to yourself, you're automatically true to those around you. There's no lying. There's no bullshit. There's no cover-up. There's no masks. It's truly authentically who you are. And you were designed to be a force for good, designed to be a gift to the world. And the more you can be in touch with who you truly are, designed to be, the greater the gift you are going to be to yourself, to your loved ones, and to the world at large. Now, you might be sitting there and asking the question, how do I respond to a world in which there are expectations on me? A world in which the particular group I belong to expects me to be a certain way and to say certain things and to believe in certain things. How do I do that? Because there's a genuine fear that if I don't toe the line, that if I don't say the things that are expected of me and believe in the things that are expected of me to believe and support the causes that I'm expected to cause and toe the party line, I might be outcast. I might be rejected. There's the fear that, you know, if I see a friend of mine doing certain things that I don't agree with and I feel a need to call him or her out, there's a fear that if I do, I'm going to lose that friend. And, you know, here's the challenge. You've got a choice to make. Do you want to be true to yourself, true to your values, true to your worldview, true to what you really hold dear and believe? Or do you want to be the victim of or subject to or in submission to a group or a way of thinking or an ideology or society that's forcing you to be something that you are really not? You see, if we make the choice to do that, and here's a graphic example. I mentioned earlier gangsters in the Cape Flats. A lot of the young men who join a gang are required to go through an initiation process. And sometimes that initiation process is grueling. It requires them to do things that are totally against their values. But their need for identity with the group and their need for belonging to the group supersedes their own morality. And so they sell themselves out to the group. They might commit a violent crime, a rape. They might do a robbery because these things are required of them by the group to be part of the group. Now, that's an extreme example, but in many ways, we all face the same dilemma. Do we have to agree with people who belong to our church, belong to our political party, belong to our whatever it might be, in order for us to be accepted there? Or are we going to say, well, I don't agree with that, and I am who I am? And I tell you what, here's the challenge. Make the bold choice to be true to who you are. It does require courage. Of course, there's a risk. But you know, you want to surround yourself with people who are people of integrity, people of conviction, because those are the only people who make a difference in the world. If you look at the history, there's a great saying, I forget who said it, but they said, never underestimate the power of a small group of citizens to change the world, because indeed that's the only thing that ever has changed the world. And if you and I are going to be change agents, if you and I are going to have lives worth living, lives that we can be proud of, lives that we can, at the end of our lives, look back and say, you know what, I lived true and I leave a legacy. We're going to have to make those courageous decisions, and we're going to have to piss some people off. We're going to have to. And we might have to lose some friends, and we might have to be canceled, and we might have to receive a bit of criticism. But that's the price of being true to yourself. That's the price of being a change agent. That's the price of being a man or a woman of integrity, of conviction, of courage, of spine. And the world needs people like that. The world needs truth seekers, genuine truth seekers, truth speakers, people who live with conviction, who live with passion, who live with courage, who live with authenticity. You see, if we're not honest and we're not truthful, we're not walking lovingly either. If you see a brother or a sister going down a path that's not right for them and you fail to say anything, you're not doing them any favors. You might be pleasing them. You might be, you know, peacemaking. You might still be accepted by them, but you're not doing them a favor. And you're selling yourself short because you're being dishonest, and you're selling them short because you're not helping them to see the truth. So my advice is, do it. Be true. Speak the truth. And you're not always going to be popular. You know, if you're always popular, you're probably not doing everything right. You're probably not making any difference. You're just going with the flow. You're going, you know, where the group takes you. And I mean, who wants to do that? If you want to live a life that makes a difference, a life that's an activist, a life that brings salt and light and love to this world and to this earth, you've got to be someone who's going to be at some point unpopular. And be that, because the world desperately needs people who are unpopular. If you've got someone who's going down the route of becoming a drug addict and you don't say anything and you help them with it, you're just enabling them. You're killing that person. And you need, and the world needs, and I need, for us to be honest and real. And it's so beautiful when you live in a world where people are honest with you, where they call you out, hey, Craig, you know, that's not cool. You know, that's such a gift to me. And when you work with people and see people in our society and in our world, it's so refreshing, you know, in this age of cancel culture, when you see people doing podcasts, people speaking out that are just speaking unpopular truths. So be the unpopular one, be the truthful one, because I tell you what, you're going to gain tremendous self-respect, and you're going to gain tremendous respect from other people. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't be spineless. Don't go with the flow. Don't be like that feather just blown in the wind, or that twig that's in the sea that's just being swept along by the current. Be that powerful force for good that says, no, I don't believe that. I believe this. Yeah, here's another very important thing. Surround yourselves with people who allow you to be honest, who allow you to say what you're thinking, and be that person who is not so insecure that you have to surround yourself with people who agree with you. Be that person who is able to engage with people in robust dialogue, but respectful dialogue, that don't agree with you, that challenge your thinking. You see, we will never, ever find the truth and find identity and be true to ourselves if we live in what they call an echo chamber. We listen to podcasts that agree with us. We listen to news channels that tell us what we want to hear. We surround ourselves with people who agree with us and who feel the same way as us. That's not how we grow and develop. We need to be in an environment and surround ourselves with people who have robust dialogue that disagrees. And only then will we really challenge ourselves and discover ourselves and able to challenge others. So seek those people out. Be that person who listens, who hears, who is open-minded, who goes into every conversation with the belief that perhaps I can learn something here. So here's the challenge. Get out there and find out who you are. Be that absolutely to the full. Be fully alive. Discover your running. Run and feel God's pleasure. Be exactly who you are and make sure who you are is adding tremendous benefit and value to the world. You can never outgive the universe, never outgive God. And the more you give, the more you're making the world a better place, the greater your joy is going to be, and the greater benefit you will be to all of those around you. So get out there, be you, and be you as a force for good, as a danger to whatever's danger. Fantastic.